The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Kind of a funny premise to a movie, like you instantly like are transferred into someone's body, and the first thing, like, and it happened 10 seconds before this. Like, imagine not doing what we do, and you're now in that person's body, and there's music playing, and you're like, what do I do? This job, actually, it's funny. I use this job as like an internal rah-rah for myself sometimes when I'm nervous about things. Used to be about flying, but other stuff that the... I'm sure there's... Obviously, there's exceptions. Like, for example, if you played Russian roulette regularly, you're going to be nervous every time. I'm pretty sure you're going to be nervous.
Should be.
Wow, that was a really good analogy.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks, Emil.
But like this job. Man, for a guy who grew up with pretty severe anxiety and still kind of has the bits of it, like, this job is like the worst for someone who is anxious and gets really nervous and doesn't like public stuff. It's not like if you had those parameters as your life, as your personality,
yeah,
this would not be like your number one choice.
I would have said I had the, I mean, I don't know if I had well, yeah, I guess I would. I did not like to speak in front of the public.
Mm-mm. No, still don't. You can do it.
Yeah, I don't dread it though like I used to. I think if it's something new is where I get.
That's the thing. It's repetition.
Yeah.
I get, oh, you work at a radio station. Why don't you go talk to everyone? I'm like, no.
Yeah. It's like, no.
I'm not doing that.
Because what happens is your mind, first off, it's repetition. You get used to it. Secondly, I rarely am thinking like, oh, we're broadcasting to tens
right.
of people. It's I'm talking to Jason and Chris.
Right.
In these four walls. That's it.
I think one of the days you were gone, I asked Chris this, if it ever happened, and maybe I'll ask you now, has it ever happened to you where – if literally someone you don't know that listens to you but you know texts you and says, hey, I'm listening to you, do you then transform yourself to, like, now I'm talking to them?
Yes.
And for example, I don't know, like, if Monty were to come on and he's like, oh, I'm listening to you guys before I'm coming on, and you're like, oh, wow, Monty. So then
Dave
I feel
Yeager
like I'm,
used to do that.
Yeah, so now I feel like I'm literally talking to Monty or Dave Yeager.
Absolutely.
Or, even though there's way more people out there and you just don't, I don't know.
That's
you don't
who you visualize.
That. Right.
That's who you're talking to. And it's not that I don't like it when people say that, but.
You think differently.
You do think differently. There is a part of me that's like, oh, you're listening?
Yeah.
Like I've gotten in trouble at home before where like I'll overshare.
Yeah.
And just, that's why like no one's paying attention to this, but during the school year between 7:45 and 8:30, I almost never, ever talk about anything personal because that's my wife and kids are in the car.
Right.
That's just ingrained. It's like how we don't swear on the air. But, you know, Chris and I, you have potty mouth off the air. There's a hidden switch. But, yes, I don't – it's weird because when you think about it, and I'm sure there's other things people can relate to. It doesn't have to be having a radio show, but where you were super nervous about something at first, could be something in your job, something you had to do, like our best friends that we always hang out with, she is like deathly afraid. She will not speak in front of people. Mm-hmm. Like, just won't do it. Like, will literally would leave the job if the people know that, the job people.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I'm not doing this under any circumstances. And I go, yeah, I've talked to her before. I'm like, well, why don't you just like just over, it's holding you back. Just,
yeah.
She's like, yeah, easy for you to say.
Right.
Can't do it.
I think one of the times I had that feeling, those nerves inside the most was when, oh, this would be, oh my gosh, almost 15 to 20 years ago when Moak was sick. And I got a call from him. He's like, hey, look, I don't think I'm going to make it. Can you do PA today?
I remember this.
And I certainly went like, it instantly went into, And I'll always say yes. Oh, I'll help you. I could do that. Sure. And I was like, you know, I don't.
Keegan?
Marie?
Hey, everybody. I need some help here. I turned into Hooks from Police Academy.
Keegan, Marie.
Yeah. But I didn't think, you know, because all I would have done literally was tried to be him.
Sure.
And I wouldn't have been.
That's who you have to go on.
Right. And so it's like, oh, no. And he's great. And it worked out perfectly because I think they utilized Jamie Coffey. And it's like, now yes. That's the first one. It was just completely different. And she's great, too. And, yeah, I remember just getting those, oh, no, I do not want to do this.
Yeah.
Whereas you've called right. many games. Is just, yes. That was different. And there's an immediate reaction to what, you know, you're getting the audience feedback immediately.
Yeah, right around you, yeah. In the middle of 18,000 or 17,000 at the time, people. You're a better man than I, which is no surprise. But I don't think it was around that time. I want to say it was either, I think it was later, but we had a casual conversation about it where he was like, hey, would you ever be interested? And I was like, no, yeah. Don't. I would never. I couldn't do it. I would.
You tried out for that position.
Though I did. And you know what? Had I
That would have been different.
In a weird way, it would have. Obviously, there wouldn't have been a Moak to copy.
Right.
And no offense to, was it Fred Anderson and everybody before that, but they were very traditionally like, basket number four, Chris Webber, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, Moak, there's very much a personality in there in the most perfect way. I'm sure at first it would be like a borderline panic attack the whole time, but then, you know, the second day, you would get comfortable. And I think that's the key is repetition and the fact that this very job you should there's every right to be super nervous about it. And then when you start thinking about everybody listening, then even get, see, now I'm working myself. Now everyone's listening and they're all, it's a weird job though, man. I think that's why you're a unicorn in this business, because if you look around, if you've ever interacted, 98% of all media, TV, radio, it does not matter. I'm talking about legacy media. No offense to podcasters, but you'll see why I'm saying this in a second. They all have a little bit of a screw loose.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of the reason they have screw loose is you start every day with and by the way, this isn't a complaint. This is just a fact. I love the job. You start every day with a blank piece of paper. That's especially fun in summer.
Yeah.
You know, we joke about that all the time. You have to build 4 hours of things to talk about in which people will be entertained by it, you hope. And then every single month you get a report card literally in front of you of ratings, mm-hmm. which is, let's be honest, the public who will never, you'll never interact with 99% of these folks. They don't know you. You don't know them. The public then anonymously rates whether or not your personality and your job is worth their time.
Right.
And then you start all over again the following month.
Yeah.
That's going to have a, unless you don't care about it.
Yeah.
That's going to have a physical, that's going to have a mental toll on you.
Absolutely.
At some point.
There's no doubt it does. Kind of related to that, I've got something for you that I want to see your opinion on, and Chris as well.
Love it.
So let's see. Friday, out on a walk with Jackson, my son. So he and I are out on a walk. We're coming up to, it was kind of a busy street, and traffic was stopped. So I could hear, but not super well, like someone, if someone were to interact. So like if you pulled up and you said something, well, I'd know it's you.
Sure.
But I may not have heard what you said. So I saw a man and a woman in a car, and there was other traffic stopped, and they kind of rolled down the window and were waving like they definitely knew who I was.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at them, and I was not registering them. And then they said something, and I just like, all right. And I walked away, and I'm like,
hey, F you, Jason.
Here's what I swore that I heard,
uh-huh.
and I want to see what you think. Well, there's a couple of, you'll know where I'm going here. I could have sworn they said, hey, Voice of the Valley. And so I went, hey, that's what I thought I heard, but I wasn't certain. I'm like, hey, but I knew they definitely recognized me in some
right.
way or whatever, thought they knew me. I'm like, hello. And then I walked away. I go, did they say Voice of the Valley? Wait, do they think I'm Sean Thomas?
Yeah, that's my old nighttime partner, Sean Thomas, who worked here for a long time. That was his nickname.
Or were they just saying that for, like, or did I not hear that right? I don't know. And then I just, the rest of the walk, I was proceeding to go, I'm not. It was really friendly and really nice, and I did not. Maybe they said something different. Maybe it was, hey, Jim O'Malley.
Well, let's toys can be smelly.
Yeah, right. Like, you know. This isn't.
Well, let's start with the obvious. You and Sean Thomas look absolutely nothing alike.
Exactly, and I've never been called that.
Never been called that. Is there a possibility that maybe brains work like this? They recognized you, knew you worked here, associated it with something they remembered from somebody that worked here, and then transposed it in an incorrect way.
Yeah. I would almost say that that's harder.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time we heard Voice of the Valley?
And he's long. I mean, it's been a long time. So I don't. Yeah. And then I go, well, did I hear it right? They definitely, I mean, they waved too, and I couldn't place them, and I'm really good with faces.
How long has he been gone for now? Like 14 years?
Probably.
I know he's on the East Coast.
And maybe they didn't say Voice, but that's what I could kind of heard through traffic.
I would say, if I'm being a Sherlock,
maybe
here,
they said, hey, boys at the rally.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Here we are, the boys at the rally.
I would say probably, in light of everything, the most likely solution or explanation here, most likely, I'm not saying this is what happened, is that you transposed something they said that sounded like Voice of the Valley into something that we tend to do that, where if we get a puzzle piece that doesn't fit, we subconsciously fit it in our head. So, yeah, they said something that rhymed with it or sounded like
bowling
alley.
It.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Which I often will say to people on the streets.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah.
See you at the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Also, where were you at again when you... On a street corner, you said, or something?
I was actually walking through an alley that took me to Fair Oaks.
Okay. Hey, get out of that alley.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Oh, an alley.
Voice of the Valley. Dangerous alley.
Maybe there was someone coming up from behind, and they saved my life.
Also, you ever see the movie Swingers?
Yes.
Okay, maybe it was a Vince Vaughn moment. Could Sean Thomas have been behind you? And they were waving.
And
at
I would have
him.
Really been disappointed if Sean didn't say anything.
Right. You were walking in front of him.
Yeah.
He didn't recognize you. Maybe he didn't want to bother you. Yeah. You're out with your family. You're doing, it's your personal private time. Okay. Here's something
that racked my brain the rest of the walk home. I'm like, who was that? What did they say?
Yeah, I think Chris is on something with Allie. I think we broke through
that,
on Allie. All right. As we go to break, you just reminded me of something too. I want to.
Allie McBeal.
I have a fine show.
Yeah,
Harrison Ford's, I think, still married to her. I found another rule as to how you can tell if somebody is a really good friend or not, like somebody you're very comfortable with. If you're in the grocery store and you meet someone, and we've talked about this before, that you know, and then you like stop and chat in the aisle.
Yeah.
But you both have a bunch of shopping to do, so you do the chat, and then it's like, all right, Jason, hey, yeah, great to see you. Talk to you soon.
Then you cross paths.
And then you cross paths with them a couple more times. I think one of the indicators as to whether or not you're comfortable with that person is if the next path crossing either doesn't bother you at all, it isn't uncomfortable, or you guys just both laugh about it, like, hello again.
Yeah.
Like, that is honestly one of the most – it happened to me again last week, and I forgot about it.
Do you continue the chat? Like,
no.
It was like, oh, you know what? That was true. I don't know.
No.
There was something left over. That
oh,
didn't
God,
get to.
That's the worst because
really?
You finally got done. Because I'm talking about, if it was you,
yeah.
Let's be honest, if it was you and me, we'd probably like take turns like peeking around aisle three and be like,
I'd like jump into the frozen food
absolutely.
Section.
Like, I know you're on the other side of the aisle, so I'll like toss a hamburger helper randomly into
look
your
up
cart.
Here.
Right, over here. But if it's somebody that like you truly like and you're cool with, but like you haven't seen him in a couple years. You already did the, hey, how are you doing? The catch up. Oh, move your cart to the side. Here comes a guy.
Good to see you.
Great to see you. Yeah. Hey, say hi to Sally and the kids. That's it. But then you see him again.
2 hours later. Hey, make sure you say hi to Sally and the kids.
Never know what to do. Yeah. Hey, and it's always something dumb. It's 100% I always say something stupid like, hey, long time no see.
Yeah. Hey. Special on corned beef. Aisle 9.
I didn't know that you shopped at the toilet store, too.
Maybe they said, say hi to Sally and the kids.
You start grading with stuff. You just start trashing all the stuff in their cart. Ah, the Velveeta mac and cheese. Wow, you must be confident.
Not on a diet, I see.
Right. Hey. Live your best life. Yeah. Look at that. Four cans of Sloppy Joes. Who cares? Yeah. Everyone's got to die sometime. All right. We got a show for you today. Who's coming on? It's Frankie, isn't it? Yes. Frankie's joining us. Oh, I'm excited about this. I'm always excited about Frankie. But ladies and gentlemen, I actually tweaked out a little bit. The Sacramento Kings are playing the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. It is their return trip from a road trip. It's their first home game from a road trip. I went and looked. I have the results. We will talk about how the Kings do, or they've done this year when they first come home from a road trip. Bobby Brackets.
Bobby Brackets.
8 o'clock. Always fun talking to him, and we will catch up on the world of who the hell is this guy, by the way? We'll get into that as well. Whoever's leading our bracket. I don't like it when I don't know them. Do you know this person? I don't know them.
It's a pretty deep connection.
Okay, but they're a real person.
It's
not like somebody who
branches
snuck
out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming up at 6:43 in that segment, the best story that happened, I think, over the sports weekend that you more than likely didn't know anything about. We've got Kings. We've got the Sweet 16. We got Shohei Ohtani talking today. We got baseball opening up this week. We got a big, fat, hairy show. Dave, Jason, Chris, we'll be right back.
Let's do it. Leading off, the three top stories in the morning.
Huge news. This is very important.
Here's cut number one.
They'll start to move, looking for the inbounds. It comes to Banchero. He wheels a desperate three in the air. It's no good, and the Kings get the victory. They get out of Dodge with a two-point win at 109-107. Good defense as Bodner and the others made their moves. There were defenders right in their chest. And popping out on the deep wing was Banchero, and the inbounds pass went to him, and he had no choice but to wheel and launch. And that was just a very difficult chance. It got backboard, but that was all. And the Kings get the victory. It's win number 41 on the season for Sacramento.
That was a stress ball finish.
Yeah, about 2 to 3 months off the life.
Yeah,
that was just way.
What a great win.
Any chance you could play the Magic without? I mean, I'll take the win. I'm not complaining about that. But my goodness, golly, every single game it seems like with those guys is overtime or last second De'Aaron Fox shot from the logo or what happened. Like, let's put it this way. If this is a finals preview, we're in for some entertaining stuff in June.
Let's hope it's a finals preview.
I think that would be great. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? Because either way,
would the world hate it? We would love it.
Oh, they would hate it so much.
Lowest rated finals. Who cares?
Sacramento versus Orlando. Yeah, there'd be some think piece from the LA Times about how the NBA needs to do something to prevent this because honestly, nobody cares.
They actually set up a side tournament with the Warriors, Lakers, and Knicks, and it does better ratings.
Absolutely. And it probably would, and we wouldn't care because that's a title. That's
the JV.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got to be honest. After that Wizards game, losing to the worst team in the NBA, then going on the road against a team that was 25-9 and playing the third game in four nights before you take off at the end of the road trip, I can't believe the Kings won. It's just shocking.
Yeah.
Because that just doesn't fit this team's narrative. Of course they won.
Yeah.
We knew they were going to win.
I mean, I said it on Friday, not necessarily believing it 100%. I said, look, to their credit, I hate that they lose these games, but they generally bounce back. I'm like, I don't know if they will, though, this time.
Yeah. No,
I wasn't certain. I mean, but it followed the recipe. And good teams do that. The problem is great teams don't lose to Washington.
That's right. And that's the thing.
Because they're good.
That is the yin and yang, the Jekyll and Hyde of this team.
Yeah.
On one hand, they lose to these stupid teams. On the other hand, they bounce back and they beat these really good teams.
Yeah.
And it's, although the proper way to do things should be probably to be really happy about the fact that it's not reversed and that you're beating these great teams, it actually wins against Orlando. It makes me angrier about the losses. It makes me angrier that they lose to Washington.
But I hope you still enjoyed the win.
I did enjoy the win.
Yeah.
I did. I did.
It's so weird.
It's a walk and chew gum thing. I enjoyed the win. I was very happy. I would rather it be that way. But then I go, but what? But why do you lose if you played this way against Washington? Yeah. If you play, you know, and you just reel off the list and you go, okay, there's like six horrific losses this year out of like 12 bad losses. Like, give me half of those and we're like fighting for a top three seed.
Right. And now it sets up, though, for a massive week starting tonight. The Dallas trip or the Dallas home game's coming up. It's a big, big week.
And the way it shakes out, the Kings should go 2-1 in their next three. They should lose tonight, and they should beat Dallas twice.
If they do that, that's a good – I mean, I know tonight would be frustrating, but those two wins against Dallas would be massive.
I have some info, not just on tonight's matchup and what it means, but also specifically this matchup. You talked about it in the notes. The Kings have now lost 10 in a row, five of those without Joel Embiid.
Yeah, he's not playing tonight.
Not playing tonight. So we got a lot more on that. But if you're going, oh, and is tonight the night Sabonis ties or breaks?
Breaks.
Is it? Or maybe ties. Yeah.
Excuse me,
he
ties.
He gets ties, Kevin Love, yeah. if is how he would tie it if he gets it. Cut number two, please.
Cut number two.
35 left in overtime. Shed. The hop.
When this ball's in the air, just take a look. He's waiting, waiting, and now all of a sudden, watch the big hop. And he gets the ball in the air, and boom, finishes it off.
It's funny. That's Jamal Shedd, who was miraculous in that overtime. And everybody, like four starters for Houston.
Yeah.
Fouled out. Yeah, four starters, including Shedd at the end. At the very, very end. We're talking about Houston beating the Texas A&M Aggies 100-95 in a game where that Houston just fell asleep at the end. Aggies come back to send it to OT. Two of the five starters for Houston are already out, fouled out, and Houston just grinded, you know, just grinded. If you'd have at the beginning of overtime, I thought Houston was losing for sure. They grinded, which could mean that they're – that's a weak team, a weaker team exposed to some of these higher seeds, or this is the one they'll remember when they win the national championship and go, that's really where we want it right there. Jason, it's funny how the brackets work, because that's how I care about the entire tournament. So I'm watching this and I'm like, okay. And I'm one of those people that there's a lot of them right now, because a lot of it's been chalk. All the 1 and 2 seeds advanced. I still have my Elite Eight. Final Four, blah, 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 all intact. And, you know, Pat still does a lot of people. I stopped myself. What I was going to say is you tried your best and had fun.
I was until now.
How could you have fun when your top two Final Four teams don't even win a game?
Who's that?
Me.
Oh. Who was the second one?
Yeah,
Auburn.
Oh.
Who was the first one?
Oh. Kentucky.
I had one of those.
You had Auburn.
To win the whole thing.
I mean, I get the thought.
And then Yale just wasted our time yesterday. I mean, if you're going to beat Auburn, go do something.
Right. Well, then who was the guy for Oakland who was like, we're not a Cinderella team? It's like, no, you're not. You just lost again.
Yeah.
Dork.
Though they almost won.
They
did a good job in that game.
Anyways, watching this.
That game, the last 2 minutes of took like 45 minutes.
Of course, yes, of course.
Reviews, timeouts, stoppages, fouls.
Mascot dances.
Yes.
You find yourself like, all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? I think I'm rooting for Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Because I have Houston losing the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
And tons of people have picked Houston. Yeah. Were they number two behind UConn? Yes. Yeah. So I'm thinking, I'll take
that'd
the
help
hit.
You more.
Yeah. But yeah, ultimately that would help you more. You're at the point the thing where it doesn't matter necessarily how many you've gotten right. That's fun and dandy. It's really how many can you get, and if everything breaks your way. Like literally right now, because I'm a dork, I went through and looked at every UConn person, right? Every UConn, because I picked UConn.
Dork.
And right now, if I were, this is what I know.
If it played to yours,
if it played to my, I win.
You do.
I win outright.
You can still win if you get all the combinations.
100%. If it's UConn versus Tennessee in the final and UConn wins, I think I've got Marquette and I don't know the other one is in my final four. But if there's a lot of scenarios for people like that.
Sure.
And that's where you're like, okay, now you and I both know. Let's talk again Friday. I can just about promise you our Friday show.
Yeah,
that was fun while it lasted. That's kind of where the tournament's been. There have been a couple at Auburn, Kentucky, two really big upsets. Other than that, just tiny little eensy upsets.
Yeah, for as many people as we have in our pool, the majority are still alive, which is rare at this point.
Anyways, boy, whether it's gambling or, like, in our case, just for bragging rights, it always makes everything more fun.
Yes.
Let's go with a real quick cut number three.
Cut number three.
There's a lot of questions right now, Stephen A., and those are very, very good questions, and that's what we are trying to get to the bottom of.
Mr. Thompson on Shohei Ohtani, who will speak today, address the media.
These aren't for bragging rights.
No. My favorite storyline of this whole thing is that, like, basically the interpreter was doing everything in English and Shohei Ohtani didn't understand, like, what he was saying. And, like, basically Shohei Ohtani speaks no English, and that's how this guy pulled the fast one. I'm just like, dude, how many stories have we seen where it's like Shohei Ohtani's English is better than he lets on, and he has a really good sense of humor, but now all of a sudden he, like, doesn't understand it. And I don't care what language you speak at all. Everyone can speak the language of $4.5 million.
Right.
Brandon Lang, we've had him on the show before from the movie with Al Pacino. Was that Two for the Money? Something like that.
Sounds right.
Yeah. He got loose on a couple radio shows, which it's Brandon Lang. He can gild the lily at times. But he was like, oh, it's more than this. And Shohei Ohtani knew it. And this is a huge scandal. And blah, 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 blah. And like, rah, 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 rah. The thing is like, there's... I love the whole baseball fan. Like, I'm not rooting for it to be a giant scandal. I'm acknowledging that it would be the most interesting thing about baseball this year. But if you're like a true blue baseball fan, which I'm kind of not anymore, but if you are, you are not rooting for this to be. I don't care if you hate the Dodgers. Right. You don't want this to be a big deal because this will not be great for. It will be great for the off-field stuff, but.
Not great for the sport.
Not great for the sport at all. It is opening week, by the way. We'll address that a little bit later at 6:43. Can't wait for that A's home opener. It's the Guardians.
Yeah, Thursday night.
This time it's for real.
Yes.
We will take a break when we come back. Yeah, of course, shockingly, the Kings beat the Magic on the road. We've got the audio for you next.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
Here's Engels driving, tried to set up a pass, broken up by the Kings. Kings break, 3-on-1. To the left, and a two-hand flush off the dribble. Knocked down by Keegan Murray. Assist pass came from Keon Ellis. Pass to the corner, Wendell Carter for three. It's no good. Easy rebound, Sabonis. Quick outlet goes to Ellis. Cruises up the right side of the floor. Throws to Sabonis coming down the lane with a head full of steam. And he gets the flush, and the Kings go back on top by one. Sabonis hands to Harrison Barnes, drives to his left, kicks to the left corner. Here's a baseline attack by Monk. Drops to Sabonis, going to the rack and scoring it. What a nice drop-off pass from Malik Monk. Team lead changes and eight ties. Ellis off the dribble, feeds it to Sabonis straight away. Domas knocks down the three ball. And suddenly, the three ball has come to life for Sacramento, and that's very much the story of this season for them. Hit or miss, they're always encouraged to let it fly.
Oh, good, and the music ran out. I didn't have any more Sabonis. Sabonis, Sabonis. So, yeah, don't want you to forget, by the way, your Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game coming up in the 743 segment. Prepare for that because you can get a $100 gift certificate to old Jiffy Lube.
Yeah.
The Magic took the lead late in the game behind Greg Anthony's son.
Fans coming to their feet here in Central Florida as the Kings work the right wing. You can't be tentative. They want to use some clock, get a high percentage look. And it's a three-point shot that's short from De'Aaron Fox. And the Magic look for the lead on this trip. 32 seconds to go. Here's Banchero on the right side. He spins off a double team, gives to Anthony, drives into traffic, puts up a prayer, and the prayer's answered. The Lord said, yes, it'll go in. And the Magic lead, 107-106, 25.6 seconds to go.
Not going to lie, at that point.
That's a great call, too, by the way.
Wonderful call. Yeah. Absolutely.
But how that shot went in, I'm like, come on.
It's funny because I could be wrong. I've listened to a ton of G-Man. You've listened to almost all of G-Man over the years. I don't remember ever hearing that call.
No.
And so, like, after, like, you know, 40-plus years or whatever of doing this, he still comes up with new calls
yes.
that are great, yeah. which is awesome. yeah, at that point, 25 left. And Magic up by one. I'm like, come on, dude. Yeah. But then I was like, we need some of that, like, Fox or somebody clutchy Orlando stuff. Because we've been here before.
Yeah.
Like, can we get a, can we get something?
Like a whistle near half court?
Yeah. And this play was talked about quite a bit.
Inbounds to Fox. He stepped on the baseline on the midcourt line. But we had a whistle for a foul. That's the reason he got pushed. Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at his feet thinking he's so close to the midcourt line. And then I saw the foot hit the line. And the whistle sounded, but it was for a foul on the push. First free throw. Used all the iron, and it fell in. It started out on the back rim, went to the front, kind of half-circled, and then tipped in to tie the score at 107. 18 lead changes, 13 ties. Can we get our 19th lead change from De'Aaron Fox? Yes, we can. Kings lead at 108-107. Jamal Mosley calls timeout.
Also want to give credit where credit's due and be perfectly honest and open. Would have bet, maybe not a car or a house, but would have bet perhaps a small animal or a child that he doesn't make both those free throws. No, and no offense to De'Aaron, just that's just how it's been all year with us. 85.7% from the line, Jason, 18 of 21, which we have to be fair about this. They won 109-107. How many times this year have we had a conversation after a loss? Like, free throws cost them the game.
Regular or earlier in the season, they lose that game shooting free throws like they were.
Easily.
They've been so much better the last 10 games.
It's ridiculous how much better. Like, again, where has this been?
Right.
But also great. Good job.
I mean, that's the funny thing is, as we narrow in, not pull back, but if we narrow in on the team, defensively the numbers are better.
Yep.
Free throw shooting the numbers are better.
Yep.
I mean, these are things you want when you're this late in the year. Now, they still just 2 games ago had a clunker losing to Washington.
Yes.
But the numbers of things that they were weak on are getting better.
Career high for Keon Ellis.
Yes. When he did that step back, I thought it was a three. It was a long two. Like, what is he? Wow.
That was, and again, it should be, I don't know who would be the sponsor, but 100% there needs to be a no, play the game. Because that's what that was.
Yeah. You think, by the way, of the call that you just played, the whistle that was incredibly late?
2 seconds after they called it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're still talking about it. And I tweeted out, it's the right call. I hate the fact, and we've talked about this on the show before, I hate it when referees wait for the result before calling the foul. Usually the one we see the most egregious, guy goes up for a layup, there's questionable contact, layup goes in, nothing. Layup misses, questionable. Now, if this were soccer, it's almost like they're playing the advantage. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes if there's a foul, the referee in soccer will wait. He won't call it because you don't want to disrupt if the aggrieved team has the advantage, has the ball. Maybe somebody takes off on a run, whatever. The ref's going to hold off. But then once that changes, he'll call the foul late. But it's accepted there. So even though we benefited, I hated the fact that he waited. However, Jason, I actually think it was the right thing. The ref had to handle it that way.
Yeah, it's a really tough one because of how long. I mean, De'Aaron did his best to keep his balance. So I think you're right. I think had he kept his balance, stayed in, he lets that go.
100%. 100%.
But the reason he didn't was the initial push. And yeah, maybe does Orlando feel better if right away? They'd have been like, oh, come on, how are you calling that? Because it did seem a little bit, I would say, of a weaker call if you're judging him, if he would have called it right away.
Yeah.
But then once he saw the result, and he's like, yeah, I can't let De'Aaron just walk out of that. Like, yeah. But it took a long time.
He didn't want to call it.
Right.
Here's the thing. You go back and I've looked at it 10 times. Who was it? Who was on him? Suggs?
Suggs or
was it Suggs maybe? Whoever was on De'Aaron, I forget now. Right after I just said I've seen it 10 times. Like, you see, there's some initial, you know, shuffling between the two. You see very clearly the right hand of the defender on the hip of De'Aaron pushing off as the defender backs up a little bit. You then directly see from that push that De'Aaron's off balance and is trying to hold his balance. He did not flop. It's exactly what we want players to do. James Harden would have been in the fourth row.
Right.
He tried to keep his balance and then ultimately couldn't. Now, to me, even though it kind of stinks that he waited that long, it's far more. Imagine this. Imagine he doesn't call anything other than a backcourt violation and the Magic end up winning the game.
Right.
We're losing our minds.
Yeah.
And the last 2 minute report came out, said that that was the right call, which I believe it was. Mm-hmm. It's just a timing issue.
Yeah. Yep. And then for Orlando, after Fox makes both free throws, remember they had three shots because they got two offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
They foul Keon. He makes one of two. They still had one more chance. Yeah. So they basically had four shots to win the game.
Yes, they did. And none of them went in.
No, thank goodness.
And you know what, Jason? It's the Jason Ross rule of Marcus Smart. That ball just goes a millimeter to the left or right and falls in. We're having a completely different show.
Yeah.
Just like
that. This is my rule of Marcus Smart.
The shot against the Celtics. I always remember I would say more often than not, you'll say something and be like, bing. Yeah, you know, that's a great point. And then file it away in the memory bank to bring out here. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll go around a little bit. It's going to be heavy Kings, heavy tournament, mostly Kings. But we'll go around. Baseball opens this week, whatever, but some of you care. Shohei will address the media today. And I got the audio for you. What I think is the best story you didn't hear about over the weekend. Very cool. I enjoyed this. I hope you do, too. We'll be right back after this.
Keep it here to Sactown Sports for the Sacramento Kings push toward the postseason.
Get analysis from our local shows, breakdowns from our Kings insiders, and all the thrilling moments from the G-Man.
Key, quick catch, quick strike. There's another one up in the lights and in the well. 10 three-pointers made. Keegan Murray putting on an all-time scoring exhibition tonight.
Sactown Sports is your proud home of the Sacramento Kings.
Looking for the ultimate sports bar experience in Sacramento? Look no further. Fieldhouse American Sports Pub, family-owned and operated, serving up mouth-watering food that'll keep you coming back for more. Voted as the number one sports bar in Sacramento, your go-to spot for catching all the big games. Swing by their convenient location at 1310 Fulton Avenue or order online for pickup or delivery. Don't miss out on the action. Fieldhouse American Sports Pub, where every game is a winning experience.
With the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports.
Got a lot to get to, so let's, of course, do something not planned. Just real quick, Pat still handed this to me down the hall. If you get tired of your sports, you always hit up the country.
Hall of Famers.
The Price is Right has a protocol in place. Apparently, it's a true story. You can Google it. Price is Right has a protocol in case a contestant pees their pants. I heard it. They have a super powerful blow dryer backstage. Whoa. And in case that doesn't work, they have a whole rack of sweatpants. And the moral there is, if you ever see a contestant on The Price is Right in sweatpants,
you know.
Now you know why. Jason, you're on The Price is Right and you pee your pants, which, by the way, if peeing your pants is cool.
Did you miss any part?
You're Miles Davis, right?
That's remember right. That I think I would purposely try to do that so I can get a pair
free
of
sweatpants.
Yeah, Price is Right pants.
That's exactly what I was thinking. And especially if they had like the Price is Right logo.
Oh, yeah.
It just says Plinko down my way.
The yodeler. Yeah, off the cliff.
Yes, that'd be amazing. And by the way, again, trying to make money for people. Why can't, like, New Balance or some iffy average shoe brand, like, imagine if they signed a deal with Merv Griffin Enterprises. Like, if they had, like, a set of, like, Jeopardy shoes with, like, little, like, potpourris and stuff on them, or Price is Right themed shoes with the logos and stuff and the Plinko guy and the yodeler. Dude, take my money.
Suck it, Trepak.
I will take anal bum cover. All right.
You might want to explain what that is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. Celebrity Jeopardy, SNL, many years ago, for those of you who don't know. And, who was it? Daryl Hammond playing Sean Connery?
Yes.
Yeah. And his bit was always like he just misread. So the
category.
The category was an album cover, right? That's the question. And then so you go, I'll take anal bum cover for $500, Alex. No, that's album cover. There was another one involving Bon Appetit, but I'll keep that to myself. Giants and Padres this Thursday. A's host the Guardians, and I wonder if they're going to turn off. Like, there's a way to turn off replies at the actual stadium, because they've shut off all replies on their social media for both the team, Dave Cavill, whoever. This is going to be the fans' first opportunity. They're opening up the grounds. I think normally it's like 4 hours before the game so people can tailgate. Now it's 2 hours or an hour or something like that. You know, they're just being scummy and lame.
Yeah.
Speaking of, by the way, we will, of course, be carrying Selected Days games right here on Sacktown Sports.
Including opening day.
Including opening day. So tune in. Was it in Private Parts where he's like, yeah, my dad used to take me to Galway's grocery as a kid, and I got to tell you, it's absolutely amazing. It's just something I'll always remember. And always remember this, folks, there's only one Galway's, and the grand opening is this Saturday. Oh. Ugh, that's awkward. That's kind of like what that was. Your Yankees are going to play.
Yes, they are.
Scale of 1 to 10, honestly. Honestly.
Yeah.
How excited are you about the opening of baseball?
I really enjoy baseball. So I don't know if I... right now, with other stuff going on, 7?
How... Thursday, hour before first pitch, how excited will you be?
Of the Yankees? Pretty excited. Yeah. I'm still into baseball. I'm one of the few that are proud.
No, good for you. And I don't want to yuck your yum in any way. And I also don't want to do... I'm not going to do the bit this year. If you're like a diehard baseball fan listening, like, I'm not going to do the bit this year where like every single time we talk about baseball, I'm going to be like, oh, hey, baseball.
I'll remember that.
I'm not saying I won't ever do it.
Okay.
But
I mean, if you do it 150 times, that's not every time.
That's a great point. That leaves me 12 times where I didn't.
Yeah.
Let's be positive.
So you're still... you can still win an award at the end of the season.
I'm eligible.
Yeah.
I honest to God, this isn't hyperbole. My excitement for the opening of baseball season is like literally a -3. I think part of it is I'm superimposing the fact that opening of baseball means that soon that's all we have to talk about.
Yeah. Which we don't talk about that much.
Which we don't. We have other stuff, but like, it's really sad. It's like honestly kind of a midlife crisis for me. I don't want to not like baseball.
Well, go back to your youth. Bring it back. Get excited.
If I could go back in time and put like the 87, 88, 89 Giants, bring back the late, great Hank Greenwald, Ron Fairley, put Bob Melvin and Bob Brenly behind the home plate.
Well, you got Bob Melvin. You still have Kruk and Kipe, John Miller. That whole crew is amazing.
Yeah, they are.
Dave Fleming.
And he's great.
Yeah.
Is it some of the decisions that the Giants have made?
Well,
kind of sourdough?
That's why I said I got yelled at for. I was like, I got to be honest. I'm out on the Giants. Like until dude sells the team, I cannot stand their owner. I can't stand their owner.
What about your Rays?
Honestly, this would be a perfect time if the A's did relocate permanently to Sacramento, for example. I'd be like, you know what? Perfect. I'm all in on the A's. I honestly would rather.
No, I said Rays.
Oh, I thought you said Rays, A's. Remember? I'm sorry. Yeah, and that, like, I'll have fun with that. Is like the Rays. Is there another team? Oh, Mariners. I still got to choose.
Yeah,
but it's just I don't know. Maybe it's maybe I need to get back into fantasy baseball.
Yeah,
that might help.
Maybe start betting on it. Ask your friend. Does he bet on baseball?
He does not.
Okay.
No, never.
Well, what if he started? He might get maybe. You
And the other part is like I used to have I have institutional knowledge about baseball from 1985 to like 2010. I have
it's gone.
It is gone, man. Yeah. I looked at like the stats leaders for that. We did this on the air. And I'm like, who the heck is Fred Johnson?
Yeah.
He's
Fred Johnson.
Right. Oh, he led the league in home runs and RBI last year. Wow, that's amazing. Anyway, so that's starting this week. Shohei Ohtani will address the media today. That'd be funny. He's like, I did it. I really, really, I hope that he didn't, and I hope that this is all honest, and I hope that he is able to play a long and full career. I really do.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not going to lie. I kind of want him to be guilty, and I kind of want him to have bet on baseball because I just want to see Rob Manfred's head explode when your most valuable asset literally bet on the game, and now you either have to ban him for life, which will cost you, like, billions of dollars, or you have to be a super hypocrite and let him stay in after a suspension, or you do nothing and you just immediately are like, you know what, and Pete Rose, Joe Jackson, you're in the Hall of Fame.
The right. Interesting thing is going to be how the away fans react to Shohei.
And by interesting, you mean just awesome.
Yeah.
We'll go a minute over here. I wanted to do this. This is cool. Over the weekend, with everything going on, I'm pretty sure most of you were not tuned into the Valspar Championship. Cam Young had a chance to get his first major, or first win on tour, excuse me. But in the end, it was Peter Malnati. With a birdie on 17, held on 18. He was able to win by two strokes. He now will play in the Masters for the first time in his long career. He has exemptions. He made as much, I think, as much in yesterday's tournament that he has in his whole, like, decade-plus career. This is one of the longest periods in between wins in PGA Tour history. And just to set up the scene, it's better if you can see it. Sorry. But he's holding his, I would say, four-year-old son, who's in a soccer jersey and a purple cape as he talks afterwards. And I just thought this was a really, really pure sports interview.
What did you draw on coming down the stretch to become a winner out of this bunch leaderboard?
I have no idea. I told myself I was going to do my best on every shot, and that was what I did. And I was so nervous coming down the stretch. A lot of those shots, you kind of see it in the, you know, the approach into 16 was terrible, but I was just like, so you can't describe it. It's so cool. It's so cool to share it with, like, it's just amazing. It's just amazing.
I mentioned that it's been 9 years. Can you describe what that wait has been like to get this second win and get to celebrate with Hatcher, Dash, and Alicia?
I mean, you wonder if you're ever going to do it again, you know, because it's hard. And, you know, in the 9 years since my last win, it's gotten a lot harder, too. Like, if you look, like, the level of talent out here, guys coming out when they're, you know, 20 years old and they're ready to play on this stage and they're so good. It's just, I mean, you just wonder, like, and so to have this moment, oh, it just feels so amazing. I mean, obviously, you know, my family believes in me. I've got the best caddy. He's been loyal to me for a long time through a lot of, like, down times too. I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful for my wife. She makes this all possible because life is hard. Like, it's obviously glamorous at times like this, and this is my dream job, and it's absolutely amazing, but life is really, really hard too when you're trying to figure out how to live this lifestyle and have two kids and be everything that you want to be. It's really hard, and my wife has been an absolute rock through all of it. She's amazing. And, you know, I've got my mom here. My family's amazing. Two little boys, like, it just feels so good.
It was just such a cool off-the-cuff moment. And with everything in sports these days, you know, even golf, we forget that, like, not feeling sorry for him, but in golf, you can go with all the expenses, caddy, travel, all that, play 2 days, get cut, and you're out money. You had a caddy who's like, oh, I could be making a lot more money with somebody else, right, like he mentioned. And here you got a guy with all the emotions of just winning a tournament.
Yeah.
He wins that tournament and then just loses it while his wife and kids, his son's like, what dad, are you okay? But just a pure moment.
Yeah,
I thought it was really, really cool. Congratulations to Peter Malnati and Cam Young. You'll get yours here eventually. We'll take a break. When we come back, the NCAA tournament is in full swing. We'll go over all of that. And I'll have a question about the NBA having to do with this. We'll do all that next.
You ain't cool unless you pee your pants.